الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I'm not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with some form of taking notes, paper, pen, or recorder, whatever it takes in order to take notes, and you can look at your notes later on when you get a chance. By the way, those of you who have been attending our weekly Islamic class, welcome back to our class. And those who are our new listeners, our new students to our weekly Islamic studies class, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is obey Allah and His Messenger, which is basically Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul. Obey Allah and obey his messenger. This is what we are mandated to do as Muslims. And if you decide to embrace Islam, then you also are mandated to do the same thing, to follow what Allah says in Quran, which is the last revelation since to mankind, and also to follow the path or the way of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, because he does nothing to tell people to do good, to encourage what is good and forbid what is wrong. That's really is what's going on with the Muslim, and that's what he does, and that's what Allah says in the Quran, or encourages us to do in the Quran, and that we push what is good, we establish what is good, and we forbid what is wrong through our own actions, because you have the book there and what it says in the book. But some people need to see the action, the activity, or be, in other words, to get some kind of test in the area of when you're talking about doing right and doing wrong. Because the choice is going to be there in many ways throughout our lives. You already been through it before. You're probably going to go through it again. And God willing, Allah willing, you're going to go through it tomorrow. And what I'm talking about getting to that fork in the road. And when you do something bad, are you going to do something good? You go down the good path, or you go down the bad path? You're going to do something, go on the bad path that's going to hurt other people and disobey Allah? Or are you going on a path that's not going to hurt other people and not disobey Allah? Everyone has, they have choices. And don't say you don't have a choice, because you do have a choice. You just made a choice. Maybe you made the wrong choice, and then you decide, oh, I didn't have a choice. I had to do that. But when you're talking about obeying Allah, you have a choice. Disobeying Allah, you have a choice. There may be things in your life that you may not have a choice. Okay, I'm not getting into that. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here as your therapist. I'm here to tell you what Islam is and what Islam is not. The Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, whoever obeys me, obeys Allah. And whoever disobeys me, disobeys Allah. And whoever obeys the ruler I appoint, obeys me, and whoever disobeys him, disobeys me. So let me kind of break this down a little bit. It was just pretty simple. If you obey what's the prophet, obey Allah, you obey the prophet. You obey the prophet. You obey Allah and instruction on what to do, what not to do, because they're basically telling you to do the same thing the prophet, may peace be upon him, said. I leave you two things. If you follow, basically follow these two things, you can't go wrong: a Quran and Sunnah. Sunnah meaning his way, his path, or what he says to do, or what he says not to do. Something that he said something against, or something he might even be quiet about, which also an indication of to do or not to do. And also those people who are the rulers that he has appointed. But of course, those people, you follow them only when they tell you something good. But they tell you go against Allah and his messengers, okay, then you don't follow them, which I'm going to get into that a little later on. At least I'm going to try to get into that a little later on. But let me move on. As also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, it was said as saying, if anyone vows to obey Allah, let him obey him. But if anyone vows to disobey him, let him not obey him. So the thing, if a person says, look, I'm going to obey Allah, I take a pledge, I take an oath that I'm going to obey Allah. And then, but if he say, I'm going to take the pledge, or I'm not going to disobey Allah. Okay, this is not the person that you follow. The first one, yeah, you follow him. That individual that's going to obey Allah. You follow that individual. And Lord, they are hearing to Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, and peace be upon him. Okay, then you're giving a good advice. Yes, I'm with you. I'm going to follow you. But when you start giving bad advice, and you're going against Quran and the Sunnah, or going against the disobeying Allah, or you say, for example, disobey Allah and obey me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to obey Allah, who created all that we see and all that we don't see. He has a total power over things. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is nothing worthy of worship except Allah. He has the total power over everything. He has the strength and the power over everything. So yeah, I'm going to obey Allah. But I'm not going to obey you. I'm going to tell you that you disobey Allah. I'm going to tell you why you're disobeying Allah, and give you even some nasiha, some advice on what you should do to straighten yourself out, so you get back on the right path and won't go down the fork to the wrong side, and go down the fork in the road to the right, to the correct side. Also, it is mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, whosoever obeys me obeys Allah, and he who disobeys me disobeys Allah. And whosoever obeys the Amir, meaning the leader, in fact obeys me. And he who disobeys the Amir, in fact disobeys me. If the Prophet, for example, puts up someone in charge, and then we're supposed to basically follow that individual, as long as he tell you to do what is right. We obey Allah, we obey the Prophet, and those people that are put in charge over us. Some people have a struggle with that. They have a struggle with obeying those people that are over them. If they make bad decisions, okay, and they go against Quran and the Sunnah, then of course you don't obey them. But they're making the best decision they can. They're staying as much as they're possible to the Quran and Sunnah. You may want them to do something opposite of Quran and Sunnah, but they're not going to do it. No matter how much you obey them, you gang up against them, it doesn't matter. That individual hangs in there and do what Allah told them to do. I remember personally, I had an occasion. And people wanted me to, and Allah knows best. I'm not going to say any names. I'm not going to embarrass the people. But when the people wanted me to do things opposite of Quran and opposite of the Sunnah, I refused to do that. No matter how many people were against me regarding this, I refused to do that. And then I just made dua and prayed to Allah and asked, made supplication to Allah and asked Allah, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, you see what these people are trying to do. They want me to go opposite of Quran, opposite of the Sunnah of the Prophet, opposite of your word. Kalamullah, I'm not going to do that. If I'm the last person on earth, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go against what you want me to do, what you encourage me to do. I'm just not going to do that. And so there may be some people like that. So you don't obey those people. For example, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he put a man in charge over the people. And so, all right, fine. And so the people follow what the man told them to do and what the man told them not to do. And so what happened to them is this, is that the person who was in charge, he got angry with them, with the people he was in charge over. And so he told them to, okay, the prophet told you to obey me, right? Okay, then I'm paraphrasing. Then gather some wood together. All right, no problem. They gather wood together. All together and pile and put it into a pile. He said, now set the wood on fire. And so they set the wood on fire. Now he told them to jump into the fire. And they kind of like looked at him and said, whoa, hold up now. I'm not going to do that. I came into Islam to avoid going to the fire, meaning hellfire, not to jump into the fire. And so we're not going to do that. So they went back to the prophet, peace and blessing upon him, and relayed the story to him, the whole story from start to finish. And then he basically said, had you jumped into that fire, you would not be able to get out that fire. And so there are some times when a person tells you to do something that is not good for you. And really going against Islam, to obey a person that's going to tell you to do something that is wrong, all right, I can't obey you like that. And so they went and told the prophet what happened, and he said, hey, this is what he said to them. He said, look, if you all had jumped into that fire, you would not never got out of that fire. And so let me move on. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, he who vows to obey Allah should obey him, but he who vows to disobey Allah should not obey him. Again, as I mentioned before, reinforcing what I said before, if a person wants you to disobey Allah, you don't obey that person. You avoid that person and follow their rules and regulations to the best of your ability. And I know it's going to be a challenge sometimes, and depending upon the person that is saying you, telling you what to do or saying to you what to do, it's going to be a challenge sometimes. But then you have to think, okay, I got to meet Allah on the day of judgment, because each and every one of us on the day of judgment is going to be before Allah. We're going to be without clothing, naked and uncircumcised, and be before our Lord. Aisha, may peace and blessings be upon us, the prophet's wife, she said, well, Prophet Muhammad, like, look, won't we be looking at each other? You know, normally when you see a naked person, you're going to look. And the thing is, won't we be looking at each other on that day? No, not on that day. We'd be so focused on what's going to happen to me on this day. Either I'm going to the hellfire or I'm going to paradise. So we will not be looking at each other. And then we get our book, put it in our right hand or our left hand, whatever, or behind us, and get our book of our deeds that we've done and the things that we've done. Don't think that you're getting away with anything because you disobey Allah or you disobey Quran, which is what Allah's word, or disobey the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. So we think we're getting away with it, or saying things that is not being written down. We're not getting away with anything. Those things we are saying, even what I'm saying right now, is being written down by the angel or the angels, one on our right shoulder and one on our left shoulder. We can't escape them, no matter how fast we run. And then what darkness in the water, whatever it does in the mountains, it doesn't matter in up in the sky someplace, astronaut, it doesn't matter. The angels are still there and they're still doing their job until you meet your demise. And they will write down your good deeds and your bad deeds. And so anything, if you obey Allah, okay, then your angel on right shoulder writing down your good deeds. You disobey Allah, then angel on the left shoulder are writing down your bad deeds. That's their job. Anyone that had a job, you know what I mean. You put the best of your ability. You're going to do your job, and they are definitely going to do their job no matter what. They don't care who you are. If you're a king, a queen, or anything like that, a president, prime minister, it doesn't matter. No matter who you are, the leader of a tribe or a village, whatever, it does not matter at all. They don't care about that kind of thing. They know they're going to obey the King of Kings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one's going to be his over everyone and over everything, created everything that we need, everything that we see. He created that thing. And speaking of needing, if we want anything, when we ask of Allah, we need help, we seek help from Allah. And so we ask Allah to guide us and keep us on the right path and obeying him. And to guide us and to keep us on the right path in terms of obeying the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. It is also mentioned by, it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, it is obligatory upon a Muslim to listen to the ruler and obey whether he likes it or not, except when he is ordered to do a sinful thing. In such case, there is no obligation to listen or to obey. And that's what I mentioned earlier about the people not jumping in the fire. Because why? The leader told them to do a sinful thing, and so they have no obligation to listen to that leader or to obey him, no matter who that individual is. You have no obligation to obey them, even the one that was appointed by the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. These brothers or these people that had no obligation to obey that individual or listen to that individual who was telling them something that was sinful, something that didn't feel right in their heart. And so they decided, I'm not going to do that. And so that's the same thing for you. Even if you're not a Muslim, there may be some things that people want you to do. It doesn't feel right. And if it doesn't feel right, simply don't do it. Tell the person, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And maybe you can explain to the person why you're not going to do that. And maybe they have a better understanding of why you're not doing it and why they shouldn't encourage other people to do it. And maybe it would stop encouraging other people to do that. But just don't do it. And if it's difficult, the person is high above you or stronger than you or something like that, then you turn to Allah and ask Allah to help you with this situation. You don't know how Allah is going to help you out of situation, but with the help of Allah, you get out the situation. Let me explain something to you. Is that if Allah wanted you to have something, if all the people in the world did not want you to have it, and Allah want you to have it, you're going to have it. And if all the people in the world want you to not have something, Allah going to make sure that you have that thing. Or they're going to block you from having something, and Allah want you to have it, you're going to have it. That's all there is to it. And the same thing is when in terms of if all the people of the world got together and said, we're going to go against this individual, and Allah is with you, and Allah doesn't want not, and Allah protect you and don't want these people to harm you, Allah will not allow these people to harm you. And if you have all the guards around you, no, that's high on a mountain someplace, and Allah wanted something to come at you to get sick or something like that, then Allah, no one can stop you, no matter how many guards you have around or how high on the mountaintop you are or what kind of fortress you live in. If Allah wanted it to happen, something to happen to you, it's going to happen to you. So when someone come at you with something and you don't feel comfortable about it in your heart, then you ask Allah for guidance and you ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Allah for protection from this sort of thing that it's trying to encourage you to do. The protection from Allah. Again, as I mentioned earlier, if you need help, get help from Allah. And want to ask of Allah. And so I want to encourage my students, please take advantage. Allah is there to aid us and to help us and to guide us. One of the things that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings upon him, and that he said to one of the companions. I can't, like some, what you call nasihat, or some guidance to him, or some counsel to him, because the man was getting ready to go to Yemen to basically teach the people. And so he said this to the people. He said, when the Messenger of Allah s.a.w. sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he said to him, you are going to a people who are people of the book, meaning people that are, might be Christian or a creeper who are Jewish people and the like. So call them to bear witness that there is no deity but Allah, and that I am the messenger of Allah. If they obey you in this respect, tell them that Allah has prescribed 5 prayers on them every day and every night. He was sort of telling them, giving them the dawah that you should give them, or what you call the propagation of Islam to the people. So he was directing them to what to do. You tell them about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They accept him. They accept Allah first and accept the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Okay, that's fine. Then you tell them about the 5 daily prayers that they have to make day and night. All right, fine. They obey, and if they obey you in that regard, and that Allah, and then say the next thing, which the next pillar of Islam, and that Allah prescribed zakat, or sadaqah, or charity to be paid by the people on the property, and then also return it to their poor. In other words, or use the tax money, if you will, or the charity money that you, if you will, a sadaqah money that you get from people, and then you give it to the poor. That's it. Rich taking care of the poor. That's Islam. Now, we have a society that the rich, sometimes they turn their back on the poor. Some rich may give to the poor people, and you don't even know that they're giving. So don't think that all rich people do not help other people, because that is not true. Or you snub your nose at people who are rich because you think that they're not giving, but you don't know what those people are doing. You know what they're doing with their funding. Even after those rich people who are here, me talk now, those who are listening to this podcast, they may change their mind after the podcast is over and say, I'm going to start helping more people. God bless me with these riches. I'm going to help other people. There's a man, I believe he plays soccer ball, football, as they call it, soccer. And a lot of his money, I mean, he had the, I'm not going to get into his name or anything like that, but he had the very basic things, even what you call a crack iPhone, a cell phone, but he could have easily bought the most expensive phone, but he didn't have that. Maybe he just broke it or whatever, I don't know, Allah knows best. But he sent a lot of money to the people in his country. And that's what he did. A lot of the money that he sent, that he would earn, he had jets. He didn't have any a lot of cars and a lot of yachts and that kind of thing, and all these houses all over the place. No, a lot of his money he used for the people in his country, people in his village, whatever, to help other people. And those who are rich, who are listening to me, you can do the same thing. You can help other people, so many other people, with some of the money that you have. Look around you, those who are rich. I'm not just getting on your case. I'm just relaying to you the what you could do maybe better with your money. Instead of some of the paintings you have on a wall, you can feed so many people with the paintings you have on a wall, or the cars that you have, or the houses that you have, or the yachts that you have. You can feed so many people and help so many people and get maybe some of the homeless off the streets and that kind of thing, because just by maybe even selling some of the things that you have, or not buying any more whatever you may have, excess that you have, and maybe instead of doing that, then maybe give it to organizations, that grassroots organizations that help other people. Muslim Social Services Agency, which is my agency, you go to www.muslimsocialservicesagency.org, and you can donate there, and we'll make sure that people will get help. Again, that www.muslimsocialservices, with the S, muslimsocialservicesagency.org, and you can donate money there, and we will help people. You can even write in who you want us to help, and we will help if it's legally for us to do so, Islamic is sound for us to do so, then we will help those particular individuals, say refugees or anything like that. We will help those individuals. But I'm just saying to you, there's something else that you can do with your money or with your sadaqah in order to help people. And so let me move on with the hadith I was reading. And basically it was saying, it was talking about return to the poor, sadaqah going to the poor. And if they obey you in this respect, and do not take the best of their property, beware of the curse of the oppressed, for there is no curtain between it and Allah. So all these things are talking about obey, okay? They say, oh, they're going to follow the prophet, follow Allah, follow the prophet. They obey that. They're going to do this thing. Okay, go to the next thing. They're going to make the 5 daily prayers, and they're going to obey that and do that. Then go to the next thing. And they're going to pay zakat, sadaqah, to be able to help people. Sadaqah is S-A-D-A-Q-A-H. And zakat is Z-A-K-A-T. And so if they're going to do those, to pay, use that money to pay the rich, paying the poor, or helping out those who are in need, so they don't have to find food, eat out of trash cans, or drink leftover partially drunk containers out of trash cans. They won't do that. Or partially eaten food out of trash cans. They won't do that. So please, I'm saying to the rich and those who are financially pretty sound, to please help those people that are in need. I encourage you to do so, and also go to Muslim Social Services Agency, MuslimSocialServicesAgency.org, and you can donate there, and we will make sure that the people get that money. I want to mention a couple more things, and I'm going to stop. And that is you have to obey when you feel energetic and when you feel tired, during ease or during hardship, and when others are preferred over you. So it doesn't matter. Don't make your excuse, oh, I'm tired, not going to obey. It doesn't work. You should obey. You got all this energy, you obey. You don't have energy, you don't. You continue to obey. When you feel easy, all's good, you obey. When the hardships are there, you obey. Even if Allah puts over you, someone else over you, you obey that individual. Which reminds me of a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. He said, hear and obey, even if an Abyssinian slave whose head is like a raisin is placed in authority over you. It doesn't matter if the person's skin is dark, light, or between the two. The lightest of the light, the darkest of the dark, or between the two, it doesn't matter. If this individual is put in charge over you, have authority over you, and then you are to obey and follow that individual. And don't be a racist and discriminate against the individual because they look different, from you. No, there are a place in charge over you for some reason, and so you are to obey them. As long as they're telling you what to do, it makes sense from Quran and makes sense from the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Now, if you want more information about Islam, you want to learn more about Islam, it's very simple to do. Don't be afraid. Don't let people scare you into not learning about Islam. Okay, you're not built like that. You're built tougher than that. So go ahead and read. Many of the people who are in my class, you are readers. You love to read. You love to learn something new. I'm not asking you to commit to anything at all. I'm just asking you just to investigate for yourself. Find out about Islam for yourself. And you can go to Why Islam to find out more about Islam for yourself. You go to the International Online University to find out more about Islam. You go to American Open University and find out more about Islam. You have been listening or attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.